What's up, everybody? It's Mr. James O'Neill here, keynote speaker, National Board Certified Math Teacher, Math Consultant, and today, your podcast host. My mission is mastery for all, empowered by equity for all, through the belief of expectations for who? For all y'all. And if I'm saying y'all, you already know where I'm coming from. I'm coming from the South, the Queen City, Charlotte, North Carolina, the QC. And today I am super excited that you decided to join me. So today I wanted to come on, and this is from the Dome. This is one of these From the Dome podcasts. But I want, and the Dome means from my head, everybody. For those who be like, what is he talking about? The Dome. But I wanted to talk about the truth about honors classes. And I wanted to come from my perspective, of course, because that's the most perspective that I could bring, the best that I could bring anyway. But I wanted to talk about this because math is that subject, is that topic where we start to differentiate between the who has it and who doesn't. And so it is usually in the middle school level where we start to see the emergence of honors classes and advanced classes and high school level courses being pushed down at the middle school level. And being a math teacher for the past 15 years, I've always had a class that was on the high school track or the advanced track in the 15 years that I've taught math. And today, I just want to give the truth, a truth that I have learned about these classes. And here it is. The parents make the biggest difference. I don't know if you came on to find for me to bash it, these classes or whatever like that. My reality is that there are some kids that, given the track that they have been on, that if you put them in what I call, or what the North Carolina calls, a math 8 standard class, they are going to be bored out of their mind because they need more of a challenge. And I am all for challenging our kids and meeting our kids where they are. I'm also for making sure that the kids that are in Math 8 don't feel like they are dumb or that they are quote unquote behind. Now, systemically, they are. They are starting behind. Like, these students that are in a standard class are behind the students that are in a high school level class. They've started a year ahead of them, per se, in math. They've gotten a year's advantage. So, and if you're in the school district that I'm in, you can get 2 years advantage in eighth grade because you can take Math 1, which is more like the Algebra 1 in many other states, and then Math 2, which is like what the other states will call geometry. There'll be the two steps before they go into maybe an Algebra 2, and which we call Math 3 here in North Carolina, which is integrated math. And so the truth of the matter is that those kids that are in a Math 8 class are behind those kids that are in a Math 1 class. And those kids that are in a Math 1 class are technically behind the kids that are in a Math 2 class, right? They are, because those kids have started high school already. And they are 2 courses in, while the Math 8 kids have 0 courses in, and while the Math 1 kids have 1 course in. Now, at our school, because we're IB school, we do have world language. And so all our kids take a world language, and technically they are a world language ahead of other kids that may not be in an IB school. So all of our kids are taking an advantage, but I'm talking about core classes that are being pushed down. And so one of the things that I just said, because I wanted to explain to you what lens or perspective that I'm coming from today, is understanding that when I've talked to kids and I have dealt with them and I've asked them why have they been successful in school, all of them have said their parents. I just got caught up in my feelings real quick. I'm sorry, y'all. But I have a club called Aftermath. And if you've listened to my podcast, it's season 1, episode 15, that I explain what Aftermath is. But Aftermath is my club that I started at my school to support Black males in math education. Because one of the things I started to see is that our school is a magnet school and kids come in from all over the place. And when they get to our school, they are so excited to be at Piedmont, you know, and they're excited to be there. And by the time they get there, they realize, oh, this is a challenge. And I used to be the one that stood out at my school. And now there are so many other kids that are on my level and that are standing out on so many different levels that some of our kids get overwhelmed. And specifically, our Black male population, their achievement and their proficiency levels continues to decline until they get into eighth grade. And I was like, no, 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 no. Everybody, I looked at our data and I looked at everybody takes a dip from sixth to seventh grade, but everybody rebounds. All the Asian, all the Hispanic, all the female students, all the white students rebound that seventh grade year, but our Black males continue to go down their proficiency. And so they started at high fives and then dropping down to fours and then dropping down to threes as they move on. And I'm just like, no, 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 no. So I started this club. I'm sorry, y'all, I spent a lot of time on this. I started this club to support students to make sure that they stay at the level that they were when they entered Piedmont. Okay. And so one of the things that I really, really, really started to see, and I wanted to ask them, why were y'all successful? How have y'all been successful so far in school? When you look around and you see your peers, they're not in this club. And I take the top 20 some Black boys and support them through sixth and seventh grade and release them in eighth grade to go do their thing. And many of them have me at the school. And they all said, my mom, my dad, my mom, my mom, my mom, my mom, my mom. Every last one of them said that. And as I do my market research as an educator, as I have sent out emails and done extra credit assignments that involve parental involvement, I'm going to make this clear because I don't want y'all to take what I'm saying and then think I'm throwing shade on anybody. The amount of emails that I get that are responding to me, that when I send out an email and ask for parents to respond to me, for instance, I send out an email blast and I say, have your respond to me with your child answer so they can earn extra credit. The percentage of students that respond in math one compared to the percentage of students that respond in math eight is alarming. It is alarming. I can have, now I'm going to give you the statistics. I teach 60 some kids in math one, 60 some kids in math eight. I can have maybe 25 parents respond, and it's, you know, it's not a whole lot, but it's 25 parents respond in a math one class and have 5 to 6 respond in a math eight class. Now, let me break down what I'm saying. The kids that are in math one, I have always noticed have had a strong parental involvement in their schooling. It's been factual through the 15 years I've been teaching. And if you talk to the majority of educators, it's the same thing. Now, there are reasons why. And you look at the demographics. Now, I teach at a predominantly Black school. And so you just can't say because all the Black poor kids are at this school. No, 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 no. I teach wealthy Black students and I teach non-wealthy Black students. I teach affluent Black students and I teach non-affluent Black students. One of the things that I have noticed is that my affluent Black kids are majority in the Math 1 class. Now, let me give you some reasons why I have learned through this educational journey not to parent bash anyone. Many times when you have affluence, when you have means, your job, you get off work, right? And you go home, you're not working 2-3 jobs. You're not working crazy hours. And so you have the capacity to be involved. Let me be honest in as well. I've had students that had nannies that listen to me. I've had students that had parents that make money and they have tutors and they have support and they have someone picking them up from and to and taking them where they need to go when their parents are maybe out of town on a business trip. I've seen that life behind the scenes with my students, and those students historically have been in a high level math class, right? And so there is a correlation and a strong one between how much money someone is making and their level of achievement in school. There is a strong correlation with that, because if you are a parent, and all parents love their kids, 99.9% of our parents love their kids and will do what they need to do for their kids, but not all of them have the means to do it. And so those parents that are more fluent or have email access, they are used to checking emails because their job requires it. Let's talk about that right there. If you are working in a job that doesn't have an email, doesn't require an email, then more than likely you may not be checking email like that all the time. So let's just even put that out there. So they're used to electronic communication because their job requires it. And though it may be taxing when they receive an email from me, they're used to responding and wanting to see what it's about because that's the life that they live. And so one thing that I have noticed through teaching is that that parental involvement, that level of exposure and means creates a different type of child in many instances. Now, let me be honest. I didn't have that. I grew up poor. I had this inner desire to do well, right? I had this desire, this deep God-given desire to see Black people ever, even at a young age. I just wanted to see us flourish as much as white people flourish at the time that when I was growing up in my community. And it was a God-given thing. I don't know where it came from. It like, it wasn't really instilled in me. I just felt like I always had it in me. And so I'm not saying that you can't make it if you don't have affluent parents, because I did not have affluent parents. Like, I grew up in a trailer park, and nothing against the trailer park. My parents was there for me, and thank God I had two parents in the household, even though me and my dad butted heads when I was younger. Like, I'm grateful for those things, but again, I didn't have that, and I ended up where I'm at. And so I'm not saying you cannot end up there, but the vast majority of my students that are in these advanced math classes are my more affluent students, and my students that when I send out an email blast and I differentiate between the classes, there is an alarming more percentage of students, parents that respond in the Math 1 compared to the Math 8. Now, I've already told you that my Math 8 students, let's just talk about this. My Math 8 students, if they have parents that are working 2-3 jobs, if they have parents that are working night shifts and late shifts and they don't get off at this 9-to-5 or whatever like that, then they're not as accessible to do some of those things. And so they don't get to put all their energy and their work into maybe supporting their child as they wish they could. It may not even have the understanding of how to do that when it comes to what we call the educational system. Yes, their kids have food. Yes, their kids have means. Yes, their kids have clothes, and some of the same clothes that the other affluent kids have. And maybe because of the world that they live in, they don't have email or check email as readily as that. And I'm not saying that they love their kids less. I want y'all to hear what I'm saying, because the research has proven that students that are from less affluent areas, and parents love their kids as much as kids of those that are from affluent areas. And I think that makes sense. I hope that makes sense, y'all. But research has proven that they have debunked this myth, like parents that are less affluent care less. That's a lie. But when you have the ability to be involved more, then you have the means and the access to be involved more. Do you know how many of my kids have tutors that are in Math 1? A lot of them. Do you know that when parents ask me in my Math 8 classes, what do I charge? And I used to tell, when I used to tutor, as much as I used to tutor, and I say $50 an hour, they're just like, can't do that. When my kids reach out to me and ask me, Mr. O'Neill, my parent wants to see if you can tutor me, and I tell them it's $50 an hour. And like, I don't do discount rates because this is my business. And so you can come see me during school, or let's talk about this. Can you even drop your kid off to see me at 7:45 in the morning before you go to work? Or do you have to be at work? Do you work a job that gives you the means to drop your kid off at 7:45 in the morning for tutoring from 7:45 to 8:45, because that's when I do it? And some of y'all may be saying, well, you work it out. You take an Uber, you do all this stuff. I'm telling you, means and access is what's keeping our kids, from a lot of them, from a seeing achievement. And let me just say this. Am I saying, because I'm not, am I saying that students that have me in Math 8 that they can't do Math 1 work? No, that's not what I'm saying. Because I'm going to make this statement, and I don't want y'all to take it no other kind of way, but if a student has a teacher like me that cares and is proficient in math, then a lot of that will help close this access gap that other students have. Because a lot of my Math 8 kids, if they had me in seventh grade, had a teacher like me in seventh grade, they would have been in Math 1, easily, hands down, because they could do the work. I teach kids in Math 8 that if they had a strong math instructor throughout their years, that gap of having a strong parent or a parent that had access to support them in the way that they could, like instruction when they get to school, will help lessen the gap. But again, that's another podcast and another story that I can speak to, because y'all know that I go around the country and I speak and I do keynote speaking concerning these issues. But I want to just say that the parent's voice, the parent's access, the parent involvement is the number one thing that I have seen to curb a student's educational journey. Hands down. And so what am I saying to you parents? I plead with you that no matter what level you are, you're in. Like if you're making the money and, you know, just because you're making a lot of money doesn't mean you have access to your kids. Somebody else has access to your kids and maybe they're doing great. And because of the people that you have hired to support them, they still need you, right? And maybe you're not making a lot of money and you wish that you had the energy or the time to sit with them and sit up and do the homework with them. But you know, you're at work and you're working this night shift and you're doing these things. And I'm saying to you that please, please search your heart to see what can you do to support your kids. Many of our parents don't check PowerSchool. We just finished a quarter. We just finished third quarter recently. And the amount of emails that you get now from parents that are asking for work. And we've been sending out emails the entire quarter. Like, y'all, like, I don't have kids, but if I did have a kid, and I know how triggering it can be to sit down and look at grades and you get upset, and maybe that's something you need to talk to your therapist about, or you need to calm yourself down so you can make sure that you're not triggering your kids because their grades are going to trigger you. But at the same time, but maybe you want to think, I mean, let me say this, some of y'all feel guilty because you are your child, right? You know that the same grades your child is getting right now, you were that student. And you know how it feels to not have a parent harp on you about it. And so maybe you feel uneasy about doing it because you didn't make good grades in school. That means nothing. What is the capability of your child, right? What is the potential of your child? Can you find a way to harness that potential? Because sitting down with them on a Saturday morning and say, pull up your grades, pull up PowerSchool, just having a PowerSchool meeting and just keeping them accountable. And maybe you need to do some work to make sure that you are not yelling at them and you're not fussing and cussing them out because you know they're going to lie to you. I turned that in. Well, email your teacher and see what they say. If they say that you didn't turn it in, oh, she lost it. You know you lying. Stop that. They lose all your papers. Don't lose them. Anybody else's paper? Come on now. All right. So you know they're going to trigger you. And that's a moment where you teach them integrity. I'm going to offer you grace, and I'm going to understand that it's a lot being a student, right? Turning in all these papers, keeping up all this work. You know how unorganized your child may be. You know it may be a struggle for them. And so what parameters, what supports have you put in place to make sure that they are good and they're able to actually support themselves in education? Like, we have to stop feeling guilty and fussing and cussing our kids out, but not doing anything about it. Y'all, I know I'm coming in for y'all because one thing that I noticed within the Black community or community of color is that many of us did not have that means growing up. And I'm not saying we don't now, because God knows I do, right? Like, I'm middle class. I've been middle class for a while now. And no, it's not the same middle class many times that compared to my white peers, but it is, it's light years beyond my parents, right? The access and the means that I have right now is beyond my parents. And so I'm not trying to take away our power and saying all Black people are poor. No, I teach some of the most affluent Black people in Charlotte, right? I've had families come through my school that were just millionaires. Like, it's just not the case. And so I'm not trying to take away our power, but demographically and historically, that's not been the case for our community. And so we have to make sure that we are doing what we can do to support our kids. I get it. And I don't get it, right? I get it that you are busy and that you're working several jobs. I've been busy. I don't have kids. So that's why I say I don't get it. But I want you to understand that not every child, not every one of your kids have a teacher in front of them that understands your struggle and that will empathize with your struggle, that all they see is a child not performing and not doing, and they're blaming you. right? And I want to tell you that you are the biggest influencer of whether that child succeeds in that classroom. And you have to develop a structure, or you have to develop a plan to help your child succeed, because you had this child. And they want to succeed. And I know you want them to succeed. And you have to do the work to make sure that they do. And being passive and avoiding their grades until it's their report card does nothing. Fussing and cussing at them concerning their report card when it's all said and done does nothing. Waiting till 1 week before the quarter ends and asking them where's all this work does nothing. You have to build a system of support throughout the quarter so that you look and see what your child is doing. And you get them the help that they need. And you support them in the way that they support them, because the biggest difference between the truth about honors classes is that parents are the greatest influencers. So I hope you enjoy this podcast, and you know I am readily available to come in to talk to your schools, to talk to your teachers, your students, whomever, concerning Mastery for All, or even the content that I displayed in today's podcast. You can reach out to me at any moment at info@mrjamesoneal.com, and O'Neal is spelled O-N-E-A-L. I would love to come in and support your school, your teachers, your students, anyone concerning the topic I talked about or just around Mastery for All. Please visit my website at www.mrjamesoneal.com. You can also follow me on Facebook and Instagram at Mr.JamesOneal, and or LinkedIn and Twitter at Mr. James O'Neal, no dot. I am so happy that you are with me today. I hope you feel empowered, inspired. Most of all, I hope something I said to you today tells you that you have the power to make a change and make a difference in your world. As always, I'm super excited that you decided to join me. Today. Have an amazing day.